All right, good evening, everyone. I think it's time to start. So this class is, at first glance, might seem a bit disheveled. The way we've outlined it is, and the way it's designed, as Tracy introduced it, is to get everyone here in the congregation here involved in knowing our class curriculum. And like Tracy said, it was realized that we haven't done that in quite some time. And that is gone over the 17 periods of Bible history. And we're going to start doing that, right? This cycle is now a four-year program. And I just want to say from a personal standpoint of what this did, Tracy alluded to this too, because we were here at about the same time, and when Bob brought this and the elders decided to incorporate this. And it's been fleshed down and adjusted a little bit, you know, through the years. But I can say from my own personal experience that with Bible classes, and I grew up here, and I'm not, you know, there's some great, great people who taught me. The curriculum that I grew up with, you know, was essentially, you know, we'd grab a book, you know, from here, and then we'd grab and go to another book, you know, from the Old Testament, and grab another one from here and another one from here. And so when I was growing up, I did not understand the story of the Bible, how it fit together, right? It was really when Bob taught this, he taught what we're going to do in about, I don't know, six or seven classes. What he taught, he did that in a quarter, a three-month period. But when he did that, and we went from there, and I can tell you, you know, my wife was the same way, and there was a lot of us here that was like, it was just a light bulb going off, and it was like, oh, I get it now, right? It was that eye-opening of an experience of what Brother Waldron had done for us. But at the same time, he would qualify this, and I sure would too. There's nothing. This is an outline. There's a lot of you that may be new to this, and you may already have the knowledge of the layout and the kind of an outline that you already have in your mind. Perfectly fine. You could stand up somebody else's outline and how they go through it. You could stand it up against this, and that would be fine. It's whatever works for an individual, right? This one, it just turns out, it really worked, you know, for me and for a lot. And the elders, you know, at the time, you know, grabbed onto it and started implementing it. So that's what we're going to do. And so part of this, we call this a history and geography class, which it is, but we're going to take a few classes here in the beginning, maybe another one somewhere in the middle, and we're going to go over the cycle, right? It's sort of a three cycles look at this story of the Bible and the plan of redemption from beginning all the way to the end. And the three cycles, the great thing about this, and I remember Brother Waldron saying this, he said this during that three-month period, he said this a ton of times. He said, don't worry if you don't get it the first time, because we're going to repeat it, right? And you'll hear it again. And even if you forget it, you'll hear it again and again and again. So, you know, if this is the first time for you, don't stress, you know, about it, because you'll hear it again and again. So the three cycles, the first cycle is what we're going to do tonight. It's pretty simple, pretty basic, but if it's the first time you've heard this, and I know it is for some, then it's a bit of information, right? It's an outline. There's 17 major things, breakouts, that, you know, from our curriculum standpoint, it's the first thing we've got to get into our minds and our heads, right? So knowing these 17 periods is the first cycle. You don't have to know much about them other than just very little information. As I go through it for this first pass for tonight, I'll be throwing a little bit of information maybe, you know, of what happened in those periods. You'll already know some of that, I'm sure. But just the main points, the main 17 things are the things that we'll want you to remember. So if this is new to you, if you don't have these memorized, that's the task for tonight. All right? So by the time we come back in for the next class, you'll be able to get pretty close to saying them, right? So these 17 periods, it is the basis. Well, the second cycle simply takes that first cycle, those 17 things, and it adds just a little bit of information to it, right? It adds, you know, some people that are involved in a particular period. It'll add just a little bit of data. Not very much, just two or three things most of the time. That we'll just pop in there under each one of those. So that's the second cycle, kind of the second pass. The third cycle just adds a little bit more flesh to this skeleton, right? The third pass will give you a few more details. You know, we wind up with a few more things. But we'll also, in that third cycle, put some chapter divisions on it for us, right? So we'll say from, you know, this book chapter to this one, right? Some of them are very easy, right? Some of them are stretched, some are very short, very concise. Some of the other periods span multiple books, you know, chapters and such. So it just depends on the period. So I was debating this, but I might throw it to our kids' classes here to start challenging us a little bit, and I might bribe them a bit to come up to some of us in our class here and let them challenge us. It's a scary thought, isn't it, right? That's a scary thought, to actually have to know it when a kid comes up. But a little bit of a challenge might not hurt. I'll reserve. I'll think about that some. Well, we'll see. Jason likes the idea. So something, you know, this is self-motivated, right? This is we've had this going on. Some of you know this. So if you'll just bear with us for a couple of classes, right? This is what I would do with the junior high or middle school or whatever age it was, that, you know, we would go over these at the beginning of a class multiple times throughout a quarter or multiple quarters, just to rehearse it, just to make sure. And I could tell, you know, with them, they knew them, and you could tell by their tone, and they would just, you know, they knew it. I said, okay, say them backwards. And they're like, and then they stop and think. And that's the other thing that Bob Waldron pointed out about remembering and memorizing things, and that is the multiple ways that you can learn something and go at it from different angles. You start building these webs in your mind and these tentacles of coming at it from different ways. And wow, you really can solidify things when we do it that way. All right, with that being said, let's go over the 17 periods of Bible history, all right? Now, the first one is before the flood. So, before the flood is everything that happened before the flood, right? The flood comes just a very few chapters in. Whoops, I don't know what's happening. Ah, man, I am giving away the goods here. All right, it's because I'm walking around with it. So, the flood comes really quickly, right? Before within just a few chapters. I did it again. There you go. I want to quit touching it. It comes in, you know, chapter 6 of Genesis, there right at the beginning. And so there's very few things that actually fit into this this period. We're only talking about 5 chapters, really. So before the flood, you can think of some things you already know. You know, most of us are going to know the things that we'll tuck in there. Don't worry about those things yet. We'll get to those in the next cycle and the next cycle after that. But before the flood, we've got creation, right? We've got creation. We've got Adam and Eve in the garden, sin, Cain and Abel, those type of things, right? So before the flood. So that's the first one. And obviously, the next thing after that, as Bob would always point out, it can't be after the flood, because that would be everything else. So we'll go with the flood. And that's just really a chapter, a couple of chapters there, just talking about the flood. It was a major, major event in history, because it was a point where God said, I'm done. If he looked at this as a grand experiment, within chapter 6, he was, I'm done. This did not work. And he was ready to wipe everybody out. But he did find somebody, thankfully for all of us, who was righteous. And so we just put in a few things there in the flood. So before the flood and the flood. All right, so we've got those two down. 2 out of 17 already. All right. So before the flood and the flood. The next one is after Noah came out of the ark, he and his very small family came down and they settled in the plains of Mesopotamia. But they began multiplying very quickly and they expanded tremendously. And as a group of people, they wanted to stay together and have the same mind everything and stay together, so they decided to build a monument to that effect, the Tower of Babel. Well, this was not what God wanted. He had said, you know, go out, you know, multiply, you know, go out and spread out. Well, they weren't doing that, so he forced them to. So he confused their language there at the Tower of Babel. He confused them so they weren't communicating, so they naturally kind of segregated themselves, you know, peeled off in different directions. And God's purpose, God's plan continued. So we have before the flood, and the scattering of the people. That's just one chapter in scattering of the people, right? So we've only gone up to this point through chapter, you know, really, you know, 9, 10 at this point. So 3 periods. So the rest of the periods, you know, 14 of them expand, you know, are going to get quite larger. So scattering of the people, before the flood, scattering of the people. One of the ones who grew and scattered was the family eventually of Terah, and he had a son named Abraham. Abraham, as as you know in your knowledge, became the father of the Jewish nation of the Hebrews. And God chose him. He was a righteous man, upright, and God made a covenant with him that continued God's plan. God's plan was already in place, but it continued this, and God made a covenant with him that he would bless all the nations of the earth. And so from Abraham, those guys, his sons and son's sons, Isaac, Jacob, and so the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, right, within this period. So we have, before the flood, the scattering of the people, and the patriarchs. Now, how many of you know these backwards and forwards, pretty much? All right, 2, 3 hands, 4 hands. Nice. All right. It'll make it more fun when you don't know this material. Because if everybody knows it, it's like, whew. All right. So, what I want you to do is I want you to engage with me and say these so that we, by the end of this class period, we'll pretty much know them, hopefully. All right? So, what's the first one? And I'll call, I don't like picking on people. Man, I hated getting picked on. I hated getting called on in class. That was the worst thing ever, because I never knew the answer. And here I am teaching y'all. That's not good. All right, so the first one is before the flood. All right, very good. Before the flood, first one, very good. Before the flood, get it locked in. The second one is the flood, very good. So the first one, before the flood, second, the flood. All right, before the flood. We got those locked in, all right. Nice. All right, so the third one is scattering of the people. All right, so before the flood, scattering of the people. All right, lock that one in. Before the flood, scattering of the people. Excellent. All right. Now, we've gotten 3. The fourth one we covered, after the scattering of the people, patriarchs. Perfect. All right. So before the flood, scattering of the people, patriarchs. The patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. One of Jacob's sons was Joseph. Joseph is our link into the next period, because Joseph, not by his choosing, he gets taken down into Egypt, right? So the next period, we call it the Exodus. It includes everything in the book of Exodus. That one's pretty easy. It's the whole book of Exodus, right? So it's all the stories there, the plagues. Moses coming up and rise, God selecting him to lead his people, all the way through the book of Exodus, and it goes all the way through to when the Israelites leave. You know, they're in Egypt here in the book of Exodus. They grow to a huge people. Right? Million plus, probably in the 2 or 3 million people who are captive there. They're slaves there. God frees them. Moses leads them. And they get out. They cross the Red Sea. That's all part of Exodus. They exit the Great Exodus out of slavery and out of Egypt. So they leave and they cross over the Red Sea. They all the events that happened there, and this period goes all the way until they are ready to go into the land, really, right? And because when they are ready to go into the land, They think they're, well, God's ready for them to go into the land, but what happens? They send in, you remember the story, they send in the spies. The spies say, this is not going to happen, right? They're too big, they're too strong, we can't do this. They didn't have trust and faith in God as a people to have confidence and trust in Him. So they don't go in, and God teaches them a lesson that they can trust in Him. But the people that would not go in, they had to go away. It was going to be their children who would be allowed to go into the land, and God would take them into the land that God had promised them, that He had promised back to Abraham during the patriarchs period, right? So we have before the flood, scattering of the people, the patriarchs, the Exodus, and wandering in the wilderness. So wandering in the wilderness, they travel, they camp, they travel in the wilderness for, how many years was it? 40 years, right? So that was the time period for God's purpose to be carried out. He wasn't allowing that generation to go in. That generation died off. The new generation, their kids, were the ones who would go in. So wandering in the wilderness, there's several stories in there. There's great stories in this period. Just the attack of the fiery serpents. Sounds like a Class B kind of movie, Attack of the Fiery Serpents. All right? So there's stories in here that will capture our attention. It'll capture our kids' attention. If we know them, we learn them, and we tell them these stories, it grabs them. And we can show God's power. We can show God's love, that God can be depended on, that when we don't trust in Him, there's consequences. But when we do put our faith and our confidence in Him, He will go all the way. He has gone all the way. And He proves it through these periods. So, wandering in the wilderness concludes when the people actually go in. And they go in and they cross through the Jordan River. They go in and there's a central campaign where they go in conquering cities, beginning with Jericho, the walls of Jericho. They go in for a central campaign. Then they turn south and they conquer the southern territories. Then they turn north and they conquer those. Everything's going fantastic because they are doing exactly what God says. So after they conquer the land, they do what God says. They divide up the land, right? Each tribe gets a portion of land, and they separate that out. And that land becomes very important to those tribes. In fact, the land cannot pass out of any of those their tribes where they were given. So, before the flood, scattering of the people, the patriarchs, the Exodus, wandering in the wilderness, invasion and conquest. All right. Uh-oh. All right, before the flood, scattering of the people, the patriarchs, Exodus, wandering in the wilderness, invasion and conquest. All right, very good. All right. So after the invasion and conquest, the people settle in the land that God has given them. And they were warned not to get comfortable in the land. It was a great land, man. This land had everything for them. They could grow everything they needed. It was very bountiful. They went into this land, and everything's good. And they decided, because they were now, they had everything they needed. They weren't slaves anymore. They weren't wandering anymore. They had everything now. And when folks have everything, guess what? Guess what they think they don't need anymore? And that's God. Big lesson for me and for us. There's great lessons in this for us. So when they decided they didn't need God anymore, God would send in invading armies or whatever it took. It would punish them, and it started this cycle. And the punishment would come. The people would be desperate because they're getting clobbered by whatever and killed, and they're miserable. God, they would cry out to God. They would repent. And they would cry out to God for help, and he would help them. And he would send them a judge, right? The judge would come in, help guide them, lead them in the way toward, back toward God. And then they would be at peace again, and all things were good. Then, a few years later, what? They forgot God again. So it's this cycle. It went through 12 judges, 15 judges, right? Wow, that's a lot of cycling. But God, every time that they repented and they changed and they came back, God would forgive. He'd send them somebody to help them. So the judges. When we get into another cycle, we'll list all the judges right here. It's pretty simple. Some of us, for some of us, that have learned those as kids growing up, others take the time, right? In another cycle yet to come, we'll learn those judges. Make sure we have those in our mind. Because it's pretty much the outline for that period. So, before the flood, scattering of the people, the patriarchs, Exodus, wandering in the wilderness, invasion and conquest, judges, and when what turns out to be the last judge, they come to Samuel, and they say, hey, we want to be like all the other nations. There's all these other great nations around us. We want to be like all of them. And Samuel, man, he's distraught with that because he knows who's been leading them, who's been helping them, who's been providing for them, who's in control, and they want something else. It's just another cycle, really, that's occurring, that's been going on through all this period of the judges. They want something else. God says, okay, I'm going to give you what you want. So God gives them a king and enters the period of the United Kingdom. So this is where we have 40 years for each of the kings. There's three of them in this period. Saul was the first one. Big, strong, head and shoulders above everybody. Looks like a king. That's what they wanted. So they got him. Turns out not to be a great thing for them, right? He did not lead them as toward God. After this king, after 40 years, he gives them their second one, David. David. Smaller of stature, does not look like a king. But what did he have that Saul did not have? And God saw it when he was young. He was a man after God's own heart. He saw he had the heart to lead these people, to be a king, to be the type leader that they needed. So Saul, David, and then David's son Solomon had all the wisdom, all the knowledge, but whew, boy, that went to his head, didn't it? And caused great trouble. But that's the United Kingdom. So, all right. All right. Before the flood, scattering of the people, patriarchs, Exodus, wandering in the wilderness, invasion and conquest, Judges, United Kingdom. All right. Nice. All right. We got just enough time, I think, for the rest of these. After the United Kingdom and the last King Solomon, it started going south pretty fast. The kingdom splits in two, right? It divides into two different nations. And Rehoboam leads the southern. It's just like the U.S.'s Civil War. There's a north and a south, right? In the south was made up of the southern tribes of the land. You can almost, when we start looking at maps and stuff during this history geography portion, you'll see you can almost just draw a line, you know, the southern part versus the northern kingdom. And the southern, led first by Rehoboam and then, you know, lots of kings in the south, they actually down there in the southern kingdom called Judah, they had kings and leaders for the most part, most of the time. They were all through the lineage of David down in Judah. So it was one family kind of dynasty throughout this entire period of the divided kingdom. In the south, they had a single family line of kings that were leading them, except for one small interlude that we probably shouldn't even count. All right? So they had one, but up in the north, it was kind of the Wild West up there. It was kings and they'd get knocked off and killed by something and by somebody, and then another one would take over and he'd get knocked off and killed by somebody. And it was kind of mayhem up there. And so up in the northern, there was lots of different dynasties up there as far as who ruled. And up in the north, man, it was just one decline after another for each king that was up there and leading them. They just kept getting further and further away from God. Until finally, what happened was that God said, you know, done, you don't get your land anymore. And so the northern kingdom, the northern part of this, went away into captivity. Assyria was one of those nations they wanted to be like, probably. But Assyria came in and conquered the northern and took them out. So the northern kingdom was no more. Really never to be seen of again, right? So that left Judah all by itself. So the next period is this time when Judah was by itself, down in the southern. Now, they eventually go off into captivity, and they get conquered as well. But it was a slower trek, because they did have a lot of kings and a lot of times when they were following God. They had kings that would when they went astray, then there would be a king that would lead them back, get back on the straight and narrow. So Judah's alone for a time period, about 200 years, if I remember right. So here they are alone, but then they as well, eventually, God says, nope, no more. They've gone too far, and he takes them and he allows another kingdom to come in and conquer them. So that's Babylon, kingdom of Babylon. They come in and take out Judah. So now there's no Israelites any longer in the land for the most part. There's a remnant, there's some stragglers. But all of these other nations, the Assyrians, the Babylonians, they start piling in their people to live in the land. So no longer is this land that was promised, that was great, that was fantastic for the Israelites, they've just messed it all up because of sin. So they go off into captivity. And during this period, we have the great stories and we have the great prophecies during this time of what's going to happen. Because during the next couple of periods here, God does a lot of talking through prophets. These prophets raise up and they're giving the message. Some of the prophets actually live back in the land in Judah that was taken away. Some of them actually stay there. Jeremiah's one of those. He actually stayed there. He's telling the people, the remnants that are left, follow God. Do this, do this. Others are taken off into the captivity. We've got Ezekiel and Daniel during this period that are off into the captivity. Well, they stay off in captivity for a little while, 70 more years for Judah, and then they come back. They're allowed to come back into the land. So there's the return. This is where we have Ezra, great stories, Nehemiah, Esther, Mordecai, great stories, great lessons from this period. After we return from captivity, we essentially are at, and the prophets of that period, we're at the end of the Old Testament, right? At the end of the Old Testament, there's this great interlude where God actually says, I'm not going to say anything else. And one of the prophets tell us that's what he's going to do. So for 400 years, God doesn't say anything. He doesn't reveal anything. There's no more prophets talking. It's 400 years. And what happens during this 400 years is important to the Bible story. Now, it's not in the Bible. The Bible does not record what happens during these 400 periods. But in our classes, we'll take a little bit of time to talk about the history of what happens during these 400 years. Because it is quite a different picture when the curtains rise during the years of silence and when it closes. Wow. It's a different atmosphere for the land, for Jerusalem, for Judah, and all of this land. It's just a different landscape. So we'll take time to do that. After the years of silence, God sends his forerunner, right? John the Baptist. We open up in the Gospels, and wow, does the light shine! And it comes and shines powerful. God sends his son. We have it in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, his story, the sacrifice. God's plan is being accomplished. And this is one of the penultimate times in his plan of saving the world, giving us the ability to continue a relationship with him when sin just kills us. So, for the life of Christ, we'll spend a couple of quarters, even more, and even as the death of Christ and what he does, he begins spreading that gospel to all of the nations. And we have the early church that is used to do that. And the saved become a group of people. And we see the book of Acts. We'll spend a couple of quarters there. And then finally, we see all of the writings to all of the Christians. The letters that Paul writes, the other men inspired that write to give us God's word in this new covenant. All right. We didn't go over these quite as much at the end here as I was running out of time. But these are the 17 periods. Next class, Trent is going to give us a little bit of history and geography for a couple of classes, right? Don't forget these. If you've written them down, great. If you want a copy of these, fantastic. I'll get it for you because I've actually got a copy back there of a hard copy. But let me know. I'll run some copies. But get these in your mind. These are the 17 periods. These are the base. This is cycle number one. And we're going to start adding stuff to it as we go through the next several classes. Thank y'all for your participation.